the House of Representatives passed a ban on TikTok if the social media platform doesn't separate itself from its Chinese owner. What do free speech advocates have to say about the law? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day.
Foreign adversaries like the Chinese Communist Party pose the greatest national threat of our time. TikTok access to 177 million American users makes it a valuable propaganda tool for the CCP to exploit.
Also, the U.S. military support of Israel draws criticisms from artists and panelists at One Texas Music Festival. What does this all mean for defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Simone Perez. Today is Thursday, March 14th, 2024. First up, if you want to post a video of dancing to Beyoncé's Texas Hold'em, those days might be coming to an end, because this ain't China. U.S. lawmakers are trying to ban the popular app TikTok nationwide, and the House passed a bill yesterday that would ban the app if its China-based owner doesn't sell its stake. The vote received a significant bipartisan support with 352 votes for and 65 against. Lawmakers view the Chinese company's involvement as a national security threat. Here's why it matters. Lawmakers contend that TikTok's owner ByteDance is beholden to the Chinese government. They fear the Chinese government could demand access to the data of TikTok's consumers in the U.S. anytime it wants. The worry stems from a set of Chinese national security laws that compel organizations to assist with intelligence gathering. Republican Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers said TikTok not only poses a threat to users' data, but also to democracy.
Today's legislation will end this abuse by preventing apps controlled by foreign adversaries from targeting, surveilling, and manipulating the American people. We have given TikTok a clear choice. Separate from your parent company ByteDance, which is beholden to the CCP, and remain operational in the United States, or side with the CCP and face the consequences. The choice is TikTok's.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries said the legislation wasn't a ban on TikTok, rather an effort to protect the data and privacy of users.
I don't support a ban on TikTok. The legislation did not ban TikTok. It's simply a divestiture of TikTok so that this social media platform can be owned by an American company that would protect the data and the privacy of the American consumer from malignant foreign interests like the Chinese Communist Party.
But the bill still needs to pass through the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said he'd consult with relevant committee chairs to determine the bill's path. President Joe Biden has said if Congress passes the measure, he will sign it. A TikTok spokesperson said in a statement that the bill was jammed through as part of a secretive process. And a Chinese foreign ministry spokesman accused Washington of resorting to political tools when U.S. businesses fail to compete. Some Republican opponents of the bill, like North Carolina Representative Dan Bishop, said the ban amounts to a free speech issue.
Lamont versus Postmaster General, which said the American people have a right, a First Amendment right of access to foreign propaganda. At first, it may be remarkable or strike one as odd to hear that, but that's because the proper relationship between government and citizen in the United States is that the citizen decides what to be exposed to and what ideologies to embrace and consider, and is always free to engage in expression, including across international boundaries. That remains the prevailing constitutional law today.
Democratic Representative Robert Garcia also warned of the impact a ban would have on users in the U.S., including entrepreneurs and business owners.
I have enormous respect for the efforts of my colleagues to focus on security and data protection, and I share many of their concerns. But I disagree with this approach and bill that could impact 170 million Americans who use TikTok. One-third of all U.S. adults use the app, and millions of entrepreneurs and small business owners use the platform to support their family. And yes, just like every other social media platform, there is misinformation and privacy concerns on TikTok, and I share those. However, it's important that we don't treat TikTok differently than other platforms. If we're going to address this issue, we've got to take the same approach to all social media platforms. We can't just single out one.
The bill's author, Representative Mike Gallagher, said the bill addresses those concerns over free speech.
TikTok is a threat to our national security because it is owned by ByteDance, which does the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party. We know this because ByteDance leadership says so and because Chinese law requires it. This bill therefore forces TikTok to break up with the Chinese Communist Party. It does not apply to American companies. It only applies to companies subject to the control of foreign adversaries defined by Congress. It says nothing about election interference and cannot be turned against any American social media platform. It does not impact websites in general. The only impacted sites are those associated with foreign adversary apps, such as TikTok.com.
TikTok has long denied that it could be used as a tool of the Chinese government. The company has said it has never shared U.S. user data with Chinese authorities and won't do so if it is asked. The U.S. government also has not provided evidence that shows TikTok shared such information with Chinese authorities. Another important story, more than 80 music artists and multiple panelists have canceled appearances at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, over the U.S. Army's sponsorship of the event. Bands, musicians, and speakers slated to appear at the festival are pulling out in protest of the U.S. military's support for Israel in the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. California punk band Scowl, Brooklyn-based artist OK Shalom, and indie band Lambrini Girls are among the dozens of performers who have called off shows this week. Panelists Chris Smalls, president of the Amazon Labor Union, and Princeton University professor Ruha Benjamin, and others also canceled their appearances. Many groups have issued statements on social media citing the inclusion of military defense manufacturers like Collins Aerospace, RTX, and BAE Systems in the festival as a reason they canceled their performances. Here's why it matters. The United States is the largest supplier of military aid to Israel. Israeli Defense Forces began a military campaign in Gaza after a surprise attack by Hamas militants on October 7th resulted in the deaths of 1,200 people in Israel. Since then, more than 30,000 people have been killed in Gaza, according to Gaza's health ministry. The U.S. is providing humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza, where more than one quarter of residents are reportedly close to famine. The festival typically draws over 300,000 attendees and generated nearly $381 million in spending for the Austin economy last year. Festival officials defended the decision to accept the U.S. Army's sponsorship, saying that the arrangement is part of their, quote, commitment to bring forward ideas that shape the world. They said the defense industry is often at the forefront of new technology. Festival organizers added that they, quote, will continue to have and will continue to support human rights for all, and called the war in the Middle East tragic. A note about this next story, it contains discussion about suicide. If you or a loved one is experiencing thoughts of self-harm or suicide, you can confidentially seek assistance via the Military Veterans Crisis Line by calling 988 and dialing 1, via text at 838-255, or chat at veteranscrisisline.net. You don't need to be a VA beneficiary to use the service. Also on your radar for today, a study on the effectiveness of safe firearm storage training found that a key element in preventing suicide among troops and veterans could be the background of the people who delivered the message. For more on this, Pentagon Bureau Chief Megan Myers joins the episode. Hey Megan, so what did researchers find to be a key way trainers could stem the high rate of suicide by firearms?
So the study looked into who is the best kind of group or person of what background to deliver safe firearm storage training, which is based on this idea that if you wanted to use a gun to die by suicide, that if your gun is locked up and the ammunition is stored separately, that the extra time it would take to complete that is like minutes, seconds, that someone could intervene or that you could change your mind. So the idea is that, you know, we know safe firearm storage can prevent suicides, but who is the best person to deliver that training to service members? It may not necessarily be, you know, the therapists or behavioral health counselors that the military has doing suicide training. So this study gave several hundred active duty service members a list of different types of people and had them rank who they thought was the most credible. So overall, they said that the most credible people, the people that they would be most likely to absorb this training from, would be veterans, fellow service members, and law enforcement officers, which makes sense because that's either people who have a shared experience or people who they know also, you know, use firearms as part of their jobs and understand how they work and understand the culture around it.
Did they say why there was such a strong level of trust there from service members and veterans?
Largely that there's, you know, that there's that shared experience that, you know, someone, if you are a service member who might use a weapon as part of your job, but you also maybe a hobbyist or maybe interested in having firearms for protection, you have one at home. There's that kind of resonance with, oh, you're a veteran, you're a service member, you're a cop, you understand what it's like to carry a gun. And also, you know, the reasons why someone might want to have a gun at home.
And now here are some other stories that we're hearing chirps about. Officials said yesterday that the U.S. and Japanese militaries will resume flights of Osprey aircraft in Japan. That's after completing necessary maintenance and training following a fatal crash off the Japanese coast last November. Denmark's prime minister said yesterday that the country wants to increase the number of young people engaging in military service. They want to extend conscription to women and increase the time of service from 4 months to 11 months for men and women. And U.S. Southern Command said yesterday that a U.S. Marine Fleet anti-terrorism security team deployed to maintain strong security capabilities at the U.S. Embassy in Haiti. And on this day in history in 1964, Jack Ruby, the man who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin of President John F. Kennedy, received a death sentence. Ruby later died of complications from lung cancer while waiting for a new trial. That's it for us this morning. To get more top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at defense_news and at Military Times. The Early Bird Brief is hosted and produced by me, Simone Z. Perez. Today's episode featured stories by the Associated Press and Megan Myers. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Bruce. Have a great day.